You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was the day when, about 35 minutes away. There are two women's basketball programs that have won 25 or more games 14 consecutive seasons. One of them is UConn. The other is FGCU. We don't have Gino Auriemma's number. So Carl Semesco joins us now, back in the NCAA tournament. I think it's 11 out of 13 times they have won the A-Sun title. They're taking on Oklahoma, 4 o'clock tomorrow in a 5-12 matchup. Coach, it's David and Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fine. First off, before we get into the matchup, you know, I thought your best coaching job was in 2017 because you had to replace everybody, and including like your top three off the bench, and you won the conference that year. Well, didn't you just replace all five starters this year?
We did. You know, we lost a lot of really talented players off last year's team, and fortunately we were able to recruit some really talented players, and the returning players we had did the most with their opportunities this year.
How much better are you now than you were in November, Carl?
Well, in November, you know, we were getting to know each other and learning how to play FGC basketball, but we also didn't have Imani Jefferson, who is the conference player of the year and defensive player of the year. She didn't get her eligibility certified till after, I think it was game 9, something like that. So she makes a huge difference for us as well. And other players, like I'll use Sophia Person as an example. Like the second half of the season, she's been at an all-conference level. Sometimes it just takes a few weeks and a few games to really understand the system and how to play it. And we've definitely gotten better as the season has gone on.
For what it's worth, from afar, you got my attention. You played Iowa in that Gulf Coast Showcase, and they took it to you. And then you had to come back and play top 20 North Carolina the very next day on a neutral court, and you beat them. Did that tell you something about this group too?
Yeah, that was definitely a big win for us, because that we beat North Carolina without the conference player of the year. You know, definitely the Iowa game, they were exceptional, and it was one of those games where, you know, it's probably Iowa's best game of the season. They shot 60% from three, made 20 of them. We even did a pretty decent job on the National Player of the Year, Clark, but the other players just were extraordinary. So we kind of went in with that mindset, letting our players know that, yeah, they took it to us really good. They're a great team. But we have another opportunity today, and our players just made the most of it. And I think that gave them a lot of confidence after they beat North Carolina.
All right, Oklahoma, what do you know about this team? Obviously, you're scouted, you're ready for them. What does Oklahoma present that makes them the most difficult?
Well, you're talking about the Big 12 regular season champions, and you know, I understand they're a 5 seed, but they're like us. They have a lot of new players in different roles, and they went through, you know, December and had some setbacks in December. But if you started the season in January and just seeded over the last 2 months, they would be a 2 seed at worst. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, they beat Texas, who was the number 1 seed, to win the regular season Big 12 championship. They're really well coached. They play to each other's strengths. You know, they really work well together. It's not just, you know, the set plays. They know how to just play together and create scoring opportunities. And they're one of the fastest paced teams in the country. I mean, they're 60% of their shots come in the first 9 seconds of the clock, and they scored the fourth most points in transition this season. So they definitely pose a unique problem with the way they play. But we're going to be as prepared as possible, and I think we'll play well.
Yeah, but you're a very good defensive team, aren't you? Like, for just once again, from afar, you know, I try to watch what I can and crunch in numbers and box scores. You guys seem as if this team defensively is very good, but maybe not quite the three-point shooting team of past teams. Would that be a fair scout?
Well, we didn't shoot the three as good a percentage for sure. And, you know, part of that is we're missing Madeline Antonucci for the last second half of the season. But, you know, we've been pretty good defensively, pretty solid. Now, Oklahoma plays kind of a different style. They're trying to score before they get into their offense, really. Their transition is a large part of their offense. And they're not just running sets where you can just, you know, blow up their plays at a certain spot or through your preparation just make it extraordinarily difficult. They just have a lot more random old school motion type concepts, which just means everybody's got to do their job and your communication becomes even so much more important. But no, we're going to have to slow them down and try to get them to take some tough twos, and hopefully we can get out and transition ourselves.
When you're trying to stop them in transition, does that mean, you know, one less person to crash the offensive glass, or does that mean attack the offensive glass even more to keep them away from the transition game?
Well, those are the decisions you have to make for sure. How many people are you going to put on the glass? You know, some people send everybody back, but then really just everybody gets a running start. And you don't really slow them down at all. So I think you have to have a combination where everybody knows their role, who's supposed to be back, in what situations, who's supposed to crash, so you still have the opportunity to get a few extra possessions. And, you know, some of it's dependent on the lineup on the floor at the time. I don't think there's a benefit to sending someone who maybe isn't a very good offensive rebounder and now they're just chasing a play from behind. So, you know, we have a lot of versatility with our lineups in terms of what, you know, there may be four guards at a time or maybe we have a bigger lineup where we could crash more people. So a lot of it will be who's on the floor at that given time.
Carl Semesco, the women's basketball coach at FGCU, conference champions once again, back in the tournament, taking on Oklahoma tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Scheduled for ESPN News. I'm sure you could go to ESPN Plus and get it as well. How concerned are you with experience come the NCAA tournament? Or do you think once the first 2 minutes goes by that that's overrated? Because like you said, five new starters from a year ago. Your bench is pretty experienced because you've been in the tournament here all these years. But I'm just curious your thoughts. Do the first 2-3 minutes with a group that hasn't been in this situation, is that a big concern or not really?
Well, you obviously it's an advantage if you have experience in this, any situation, but I think what for us is a lot of times in our conference, because we're the team that likes to get out and transition the most, usually in conference teams really like to slow it down and try to control the pace that way by limiting the number of possessions. And so for us, the big adjustment is you go from conference for 2 months and now you're playing at a, you know, Oklahoma's not going to slow it down ever, no matter what. So now you've got to be used to the pace of the game. And sometimes that takes, you try to do it in practice, but sometimes that takes 3 or 4 minutes just to get used to the speed this game is going to get played at. So, you know, you're hoping that you can start the game off well and you're ready for just the difference in the speed that's going to be there.
Final question. You know, you get paired up against schools and sometimes gut feeling is, you know, I kind of like this matchup. And sometimes you go, I don't know, this is a good matchup for us. Now that you've had a few days to sink your teeth into it, how do you feel about the matchup?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a tough matchup. We've never been in a situation where we're playing a Power Five regular season champion in the first round. But I will tell you that, you know, I stopped trusting my opinion on those things and we were playing Missouri because I was really silly talking to my assistants beforehand, and there's probably about 15, 20 teams that we could have been matched up against. And I said, anybody but Missouri. I don't want to see Missouri. And that's the team that showed up. And, you know, I think it kind of like the assistants are like, oh, no, that must be a terrible matchup for us. But we ended up winning that game. So that's when I stopped thinking, like, I knew how a matchup was going to play out. It's really going to be the players. Like, you know, that's the great thing about March Madness. Like, I'm sure you guys watch Oakland, Kentucky last night. Somebody goes off for 10 threes and has a magical moment. You know, we're hoping to capture a little bit of that magic over the next week or two.
Thanks for making time for us. Good luck tomorrow. We'll be watching, and hopefully we can talk to you next week.
All right. Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Carl Semesco, women's basketball coach at FGCU. 29 wins this year. That's all.
Hard not to root for him. He's a solid dude.
Yes, he is.
And really good coach.
Taste of music.
Well, he's a metalhead. That's the only thing I was going to ask him is what band is this team? But then I didn't think we had enough time left in the interview for him to go through that process.
Well, no, because he will break that down with far more detail than he did the silly basketball questions that we asked him. I mean, you'd be hitting him right where he lives,
right?
If you start comparing his team to
Queensryche,
right?
You know, I mean, who is this team in his world?
Yeah, it's over. I don't know if we get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. He would just be on a roll. He'd push practice back 20 minutes, and he never pushes practice back.
I was amazed we asked him a question about rebounding that he actually gave an honest answer. Usually Carl's like, would you two shut up with your strategy? I want to hear nothing from you two about that.
I've been answering your dumb questions for 20 years, and it's bad enough I had to answer Moulton pregame, halftime, and post, okay? Enough. I know you don't know anything about basketball. You by now know you don't know anything about basketball. We got your picks yesterday. Everybody knows you don't know anything about basketball.
9-7, both of us.
That's right. That's not against the spread. That's just winners.
Straight up.
We suck. But we know it. There's another one for the t-shirt. Miller and Moulton. We suck, but at least we know it.
Our merchandise has merchandise. They'll never be available to the public, but
no.
We'll keep making t-shirts. Miller and Moulton. Thanks for listening.
Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was the day when some final picks and bets and what have you coming up in a little more than 15 minutes time. Jack Ebling, longtime writer in Lansing for the Lansing State Journal. Now he's been doing the sports radio thing for a long time as well. He hosts The Drive with Jack, and you can follow him on X at Drive with Jack. Jack, it's David and Mark. Thanks for your time. How are you?
Hey, guys. We're doing great here. A big day yesterday for the state of Michigan. Michigan State got a win over Mississippi State by 18. Oakland is the toast of the college basketball world, defeating Big Blue Nation, and Michigan didn't lose.
Well, obviously, Oakland is the big story. It came out of nowhere for everybody. Did it come out of nowhere for the people in Michigan?
Well, it only took 40 years for Greg Campy to pull one of these off, but he is such an endearing figure that everyone is pulling for him. And we saw this Oakland team do some pretty interesting things. But when you saw Kentucky, how good it could be, it was a reach to think that Golden Grizzlies were going to do this. But how often does a guy make 10 threes in an NCAA tournament game? And he's an interesting story when you think that he played 5 years at Hillsdale and then transfers in, and now he's a national story.
Well, the leading rusher in the SEC this year was a D2 kid as well, who played his one final year of eligibility at Missouri, and nobody in the SEC could stop him. I mean, Jack, let's face it, there's some bad recruiting going on, right?
I got to tell you a great Campy story. About 2 weeks ago, he decided he was going to have a little fun with people and showed up at a local McDonald's and worked the drive-through window. And one woman ordered a Big Mac, and he unwrapped it and took a bite out of it and then said, "Yeah, it's pretty good. You should finish it." That's kind of the way the guy is wired. And he has done so much for cancer here and brings in 10 of the top coaches around the country every year and some well-heeled boosters and fans of teams bid to spend the day with them. And they do a Vegas casino kind of thing and a golf outing, and they raise boatloads of money. This is all his idea. And I was thinking he could get just about any coach in the country to do this. Now he'll get any coach he wants.
Well, except John Calipari. Okay. I mean, John,
you know what? John is one of his best friends. And that's the funny part. And Calipari's been up here almost every year for this.
And last night, they beat Calipari. Oakland with the huge win. Campy getting his first ever tournament win.
Yeah.
And now Oakland moves on to play NC State, who upset... had a big upset in their game against Texas Tech. So now it's an 11-14. Right. So the Sweet 16 is a possibility for Oakland.
Yes.
I mean, it's a realistic possibility. Obviously, this team can shoot it. I mean, they knew that going in. Everything went in last night, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We joke with Greg. Here he is. I think he's the second losingest coach in NCAA history. And you got to be really good to lose that many games.
Right.
But, you know, he's won a boatload. And when he plays Michigan State next year, Oakland and the Spartans play every year, it'll be 2 700-win coaches going at it.
That is remarkable. Let's talk Michigan State.
Yeah.
They made some shots yesterday. I thought Mississippi State couldn't put the ball in the ocean. That helped.
Right.
But obviously, we're trying to look ahead.
Yeah.
To me, I thought on one side of the ball, Jack, if you will, I thought offensively, if they can play like that and cut their turnovers down a smidge, I think offensively they may have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, a chance. I don't think anyone's going to take out a second mortgage to bet them. But I also think Armando Bacot could improve his draft status in this game tomorrow. But Michigan State has done crazy things like this before. You know the story about Izzo having the most wins in the tournament as a lower seed. This is 17 of them now, two more than Jim Boeheim. The joke here is, well, why are you a lower seed with, you know, the fourth-ranked team in the country at the start of the season? You shouldn't be a 9 seed, but... this is 56 NCAA tournament wins for Tom Izzo, and no one else has had 26 of them in a row in terms of tournament appearances.
Do you see their bigs being good enough? I mean, they've got four of them, but they don't defend that well. Do their bigs have any shot against North Carolina?
If they let them all be out there at the same time. each one can do something. That means that there are three things that each of them can't do. So, I don't know. It depends how North Carolina plays. If North Carolina plays well, Michigan State won't win. But Michigan State is capable of making teams not play well. We saw that when they blasted Baylor. We're talking about another 3 seed, and you know they were up 30 in that game. So, Michigan State on the right day can be a very dangerous team if these guards all show up and Malik Hall plays the way he can. It's kind of drawing to an inside straight, but I think Michigan State has a chance.
He's Jack Ebling. He hosts The Drive with Jack in afternoons in the Lansing, Michigan area. He was a longtime writer for the Lansing State Journal. Hey, you're friendly with both Izzo and Campy. How long do you think they keep doing this? You know, I mean, they both obviously can still do it, but just your gut feeling, you know, they're both in their late 60s now. How long do you think they keep doing it?
You know, Campy had a near-death experience in 2017 with sepsis and wondered if he would keep coaching, but he seems invigorated. He's lost a lot of weight. He's an incredible walker. So I don't know. I think after this, it's going to be hard to shut him up unless he's going to go into television or, you know, just open his own McDonald's. Izzo, I think he's driven to win another championship. Don't know if he will do that. If he does, it'll be the longest gap between NCAA tournaments for any coach. But now he's getting the sons of his 2000 champions showing up on campus. So I think he wants to coach them, and it'd be one hell of a family reunion if they could win another championship.
Jack, we got about 30 seconds. If you were Jack Golke, the kid who hit the 10 threes, do you want to go into insurance, car dealership, or a chain of restaurants? Because I got to think after last night, he's going to have a good life.
They're going to name him the Golke Grizzlies after what they did last night. But I just want to tell you guys how lucky you are to have Trent Valley down there as your producer. If you ever get really sick of all of this Detroit stuff, send him back up here.
I didn't pay him to say that either.
Will do. Jack, we agree. And thanks for making time for us. Have a great show today, and hopefully we can do this again.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Jack Ebling, kind enough to join us with insight, tight with both Izzo and Campy.
You really got that insurance lined up for...
I think his life's over. I do. He can just name it. He could just name it. There's money in that area, as you guys know. Come on now. He could just say, listen, I'm thinking a chain of restaurants. What do you think? Golke's Diner. You know, we open up a bunch of them.
Everything's $3 on the menu? 10 items, $3 or less?
$3.33. Right.
I like the 10 items thing, too.
So that's all. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when some picks sure to go wrong. It's all coming up.
Welcome to the bonus hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Twenty-two minutes till the top of the hour. 16 until we are done. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Man, we had a lively show today. A lot of guests.
Our guests had guests today, David.
Yeah, we just, you know, a lot of college hoop. And oh, by the way, Pat Kerwin. Yeah. So there, you miss any of it? Including Carl Semesco and Jack Ebling earlier on this Diamond District bonus hour. Pat Kerwin in the 8 o'clock hour. And Jarrell McNeil, former Marquette standout with a field of 68, talking plenty of college hoops. And I don't know if he gave us some breaking news or whatever, but as a Marquette alum, he said, yeah, people I've been talking to, the point guard's ready to go. Has had a good week of practice. So, okay. All right.
Both Moulton and Trent Valley calling for the Western Kentucky upset today over Marquette.
I do like the points. If I were to, you know, like you and we've each had a bet. Okay. You took FAU on the money line, and I said, we're betting the Gators. If there's another one that you really like, then mine is give me the points in Western Kentucky.
No, I can do that because yesterday I bet Illinois without really consulting you. I just sent you a text and said, we just bet Illinois.
I know, but you won.
I know, but I already did it. So
speaking of which, did you see the Arizona Long Beach State? Bad beat. 20.5. Arizona, you know, takes the guys out late and what have you. Guy only makes one of two free throws. Kid misses a driving layup with 20 seconds to go. They only win by 20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody's paying attention or anything.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Again, not a lot today, but there's some stuff. 1790, we start. Thomas Jefferson becomes the first Secretary of State. Seemed to work out well.
Yeah, it actually did.
1870, Ohio State University is founded. Notice I said how it was founded.
Right.
Ohio State University is founded.
When did they change their name?
Not for a long time. Today in 1933, FDR signs the Cullen-Harrison Act, making the sale of beer and wine legal. Elvis released All Shook Up today in 57. UCLA beats Purdue today in 69. This guy named Alcindor named most outstanding player for the third consecutive year.
That's the only time Purdue has made the title game.
Congress approves the Equal Rights Amendment today in 72.
Yeah, but it was never ratified, was it?
No.
Still to this day.
Correct. And two things happened sports-wise in 89. Pete Rozelle retires. And hockey fans will remember this was the day that Clint Malarchuk suffered the near-fatal injury, getting cut by the skate blade and nearly dying on the ice. Changed the protective gear for goaltenders because of that incident. Carl Malden and Stephen Sondheim, both born today. William Shatner's 93, David.
And his hairpiece is 64.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is 76. So is Wolf Blitzer. Reese Witherspoon is 48. Joey Porter's 47. And J.J. Watt's 35.
Reese is 48, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Thinking the same thing, David. The exact same thing.
Sounds like she's got a couple fans. Well, there's a few sports things that happened today. First women's college basketball game was played today in 1893. First Stanley Cup championship was played today in 1894. Don't think it was called the Stanley Cup at the time, but you know. Also, first Masters today in 34. 90 years ago today, the Masters. Also, 11
on CBS,
years
ago, sorry.
Yes. A tradition unlike any other. Also, 11 years ago today, Dunk City was born. And it was a Friday in Philadelphia. Happened at around 8 o'clock at night. Because it was a dreadful first half. It was 24-22 FGCU. And then FGCU scored 7 points. And then Georgetown scored 9. So it's 31-all. It's like, oh, okay, okay. Giving them a game. And then it happened. 21-2. 5 high-flying dunks. Throw in a couple threes. Harlan, Reggie Miller, Len Elmore losing their minds. And there hadn't been a single upset of any kind the first three sessions of the tournament. All day and night Thursday and all day Friday. The tournament had no juice. And then it happened. Eleven years ago today.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to Ontario for the good, where the Brampton Animal Services said in a Facebook post that personnel responded to a call about a skunk in distress. They arrived to find the animal had a jar stuck over its head. They were able to remove the jar, safely secure the skunk, and the skunk was released at the scene. For the bad, we go to Cape Coral, where a man who owns a Pokemon card shop in Cape Coral has been arrested for stealing trading cards from a Walmart in Highlands County. Matthew Foster was caught by Walmart security stealing Pokemon cards that he would later try to resell at his own store. $751 worth of cards caused him a grand theft arrest. Way to go, jackass.
Gotta catch them all.
My daughter loves those Pokemon cards, too. I have no idea why. What a tremendous waste of money.
I was big into them.
Were you?
Yep. When I was a kid.
Yeah, okay. Still have them?
No.
Oh,
they'd probably be worth a lot.
They would be.
You never get rid of that stuff.
Well, I don't even know what happened to them.
Your mother probably threw them away. That's what happened to mine. My mother threw away all my baseball cards because they were lying on the floor. She's proud of it to this day. She thinks she did the right thing.
She didn't. You made a mistake, Mom.
Damn right you did.
Congratulations on Duquesne. You screwed up with the cards.
For the ugly, we go to Lee County, where SunPass customers are getting bills in the mail from Leeway. Apparently, if you're going from Fort Myers to Cape Coral, they've been overcharging you.
Really? This affects me.
This has caused people to be charged $5 instead of $2 when going over any toll bridge from Fort Myers to Cape Coral.
That has literally been happening to me. I swear. I thought that was fishy. Jeez.
So what do you do?
Apparently,
do you just wait for the refunds to arrive in the mail, or
no,
do you have to do something?
Call customer service and ask for a service request. Some cases this means you can get your fees waived. But they're ripping you off. Damn tollways.
By a lot. Charging you more than double.
And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today, March the 22nd, 2024.
Once again, the NHL is a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league. Today's a Friday. So there's only four games. One that interests both of our teams, though, since this show is either a Wings fan or a Rangers fan, Carolina's in Washington. I want Washington to win because, well, you know, trying to fend off the Canes. You want the Canes to win because, well, the Caps are trying to chase down the Wings for the final playoffs.
And I'm torn because I've got money on Philadelphia missing the playoffs, so I really need Washington to catch the Flyers.
Yes, you do. So that's the key game there. NBA tonight. You know, they're still actually going ahead with the association, which, you know, no one's going to pay any attention nationally. The Heat are hosting the Pelicans a night after the Magic beat them by 15. Trent, you going to take the Pistons in 13.5 at home against the Celtics?
No.
Okay.
That line should be 19.5.
Okay. Good deal there. All right. Probably best game of the night, Cleveland's at Minnesota, 8 o'clock on NBA TV. So. And then there's the tournament. Women's tournament also getting underway. In fact, the first women's game's at 11:30, I believe, Mark. In fact, it starts on your AM sports network.
Then we have to give the rights to ESPN at noon when we go off the air.
Well, I'm curious. Do you at least carry it to halftime? I think you should carry it to there's a stoppage in play, at the very least. Either that or the under 5 timeout in the second quarter.
That sounds about right. That's, I think, all we'll get, David. We'll get probably the first quarter and a little bit of the second.
And then the first media timeout of the second quarter, Mark's network will pass it over to ESPN2, and they'll take Michigan State, North Carolina the rest of the way. Remember, FGCU tomorrow, 4 o'clock against Oklahoma. If they win their first-round tournament game for the third year in a row, they would face the winner of Indiana Fairfield, which actually takes place before their game, and it's at Assembly Hall in Bloomington.
So they'll play Indiana if they win.
In all likelihood, although Fairfield's fascinating. They're 31-1. They have the second longest winning streak in the country. FGCU is the third. South Carolina's unbeaten. They're the longest. Fairfield's won 29 in a row. FGCU, I believe, has won 24 in a row. Don't quote me.
Well, good luck to Carl Semesco and the Lady Eagles tomorrow as they take on Oklahoma, trying to get another tournament win for FGCU.
They've got four. have never made it to the Sweet 16, but they have four tournament wins. 2015, they were actually a 7 seed once. In 2015, they were a 7 seed. They beat a team they were supposed to beat, Oklahoma State.
But they're seated about where they're supposed to be this year, aren't they? I mean, maybe a little higher, maybe a 10, but this isn't...
Well, what's interesting is they were the 7 seed in 2015. They've done nothing but win since. They've never been given a seed better than 11 all the rest of their years. 4 years ago or four tournaments ago, they were an 11 facing Michigan in a 6-11 matchup, and that Michigan team went to the Elite Eight. But they've been 12s, 13s, and 14s basically since beating Oklahoma State. It's really strange. So they give them the great seed, they win, and then they go, yeah, we ain't never doing that again.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
But it's where... It's the same thing that the men's mid-majors have. FGCU is a mid-major in women's. They're a low major in men's. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
But they have difficulty scheduling games. No one in the state of Florida will play them. Nobody.
No. No.
I mean, the fact that Kentucky schedules them on a regular basis is, well, their coach is fired, so that's done.
Well, exactly. I mean, he helped get her fired, so that ain't going to happen anymore. And for whatever reason, Duke, Carol Lawson's been willing to do home and homes with Carl. Good for her.
But no one in state.
Right. So there you have it. Mark is, well, Mark doesn't think that 4-11s are going to win.
And I picked New Mexico.
And 3-11s won yesterday, so now Mark thinks Clemson's winning today because of what happened yesterday. That doesn't sound absurd or anything, does it, as a premise?
And the 10s are going to go winless? Like, I'm worried about your Gators, Trent. I'm worried about your Gators.
But would you have been worried, all right, if one of the 7s had won yesterday?
Not as worried. No, I wouldn't.
So it's more of a...
Law of probability, yes.
Yes, okay. I don't hate it. I don't know.
The 5s went 4-0 last year. There were no 12s that won last year. And a 12 got blown out yesterday. That means a 12's going to win today, right? By your logic, a 12 is winning today.
Book it.
Okay.
I'll be monitoring 5-12 games all day, so you'll be expecting a text when we get through two of them because we know how the last one's going to turn out.
If a 12 beats a 5, it'll be 33 out of 39 years that it's happened.
UAB, James Madison, Grand Canyon are the 12s.
Which, and I say UAB has the worst chance to win, so that probably means the Blazers will win today. Enjoy the basketball. Have a tremendous weekend. We'll do it all again Monday morning, 6 a.m.